Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Glad you came. A couple of announcements. First of all, we will not be meeting tonight because it is Father's Day. And by the way, happy Father's Day to all of the fathers that are here. Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow. That's the big item on the announcement list. Every night, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8:30, the theme is God of Wonder, Exploring God's Amazing Creation. It should be good. I'm sure that it will be good. So if you will, bring and send children in your family and in your neighborhood to attend beginning tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Look forward to that starting. Let's see. Also, because we're not meeting tonight, our monthly business meeting, which would usually be tonight, been put off till next Sunday night. And so we keep that in mind, have some important things to take care of. Any other announcements?
Yes.
Okay.
As Hilton always did, we'll continue the hamburger cookout on Friday night at Bible school.
Okay.
We need you to bring on Friday night, and Doris and I always argued about homemade cookies because she wanted to go buy them, and so, but we asked that y'all all join, and that is open for everybody, and so if you bring some homemade cookies on Friday night.
Okay, so everybody's going to be invited Friday night.
Invited for the hamburger cookout, and Barbara and Dan and I will be doing that.
We'll probably have somewhat of a program, children, some sharing of what's been going on during the week. And then we'll, good, okay. Bring some cookies.
Homemade.
Any other announcements? Okay. Let me take us into our prayer time then. We do want to continue to pray for Darlene Odom. She is scheduled for heart surgery on the 28th. That's a week from tomorrow. Understand that it is going to be expected to be quite involved, and so pray for Darlene Odom. Also, of course, her husband, Charlie. Charlie has his own health issues that he's dealing with, and so now on top of that, Darlene's been taking care of Charlie. I'm not too sure how this is going to work out, but Charlie says he's going to take care of Darlene for a while now, so do pray for them. Also, pray for Nancy Barrett. Nancy Barrett's having a difficult time. You know, she's dealing with cancer and has had surgery, and that the follow-up on the surgery has not been going well, and so pray for her. Nancy Barrett, that's Bill and Louise's daughter-in-law. Also, pray for the Gary Wiest family. Gary passed away a week ago. This morning, that is my nephew, lived in Tennessee, my sister's son. He also had cancer, had lung cancer, but he passed away from a heart attack, seemingly as a result of some of the strong treatments that he was taking because it had spread into his liver and other vital organs of his body, and last Sunday morning he passed away. Very difficult for my sister and the rest of the family. Their funeral was on Wednesday, and talked with my sister yesterday, and she said she had finally quit crying and things were going to get better, but as we pray for them. Let's see, what else? I'll continue to pray for Elsie Daniels. Haven't gotten an update on her lately. But Jean had shared with us that some of the tests were not good that came back she had. And, of course, pray for our vacation Bible school. Most of our students will be those who come on Wednesday nights that are not regular church attenders anywhere, and so it's just very, very important that they receive training of the scriptures here at Vacation Bible School this week. Brett, good to have you back. Those of you who may not know him, he's been around here since how young did you say?
12,
about 12, 13. And the last couple of years he's been different places, and we have missed him. Glad to have him back, and he's brought his wife Kayla with him. Glad to have you, and we hope to be seeing more of you. Brent asked that we pray for him. He had heat stroke this week one day. He's been working as a roofer, and you know how hot that is, how hot it's been, and so pray for him. He's on the mend, doing well. It's good to have you back with us. Any other requests? Okay, Brett's uncle, pneumonia. Pray for him. Yeah. Marvin Meadows. I did not know that. Marvin Meadows had a stroke. Pray for him. He's home, though, and recovering. Okay. Unspoken requests. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you that you are always listening, and with a tender, merciful, compassionate heart, part of your character is that you are a God of mercy and grace. You hear our prayers and you're moved by us interceding on the behalf of these that we care about. And so we do so again this morning. We bring all of these to you. Thank you for hearing and listening, and thank you for answering. Heavenly Father, how fortunate we are. God, we thank you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before John comes and gets us started with some music, Josh, would you come up here for just a minute? I've got something here for you. As he makes his way up here, Josh, let me share with you, Josh has chosen not to continue as our minister of youth here. He has been in that position for quite some time, and Josh, come on up. I have a card here with a monetary gift and want to express our sincere appreciation to you for working in the middle of some difficult times. I don't know if you know it, but Josh has done a lot more than just take care of working with the youth. Thank you. We appreciate you. All right. Now, Brother John, come and get us started. We're ready to sing.
Seven hundred thirty. Stand up for Jesus. And I'd ask you to stand. We're going to sing verses 1 and verses 2, and then Brother Charlie will have the prayer.
Father, we come to you this morning, and we're standing up for Jesus, our Savior. How we thank you. We come this morning to worship you for that purpose and that only. God, you are worthy. As we worship you, we give to you our time and pray that you would touch our hearts and draw us closer to you because of having came today. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
be seated. We'll recognize our fathers. We don't have much to say, but I'd ask all the fathers, please stand. Thank you for your dedication. Be seated. Now I've lost my place. Okay, 527. 527. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he is able. Sing this hymn. For faith of our fathers. Where would we be without all of the people over the past, you know, roughly 2,000 years, the church fathers, as they organized? Where would we be without them? We're just thankful that God has used men over the centuries to share the gospel and keep worship of Him alive. Faith of our fathers. Now, after we sing this hymn, we're going to have special music. Then we will have our offertory. Brandy Bird will be playing our offertory. After that, Brother Charlie comes with a message.
Oh, Lord, we cry with joy when Oh Lord, our God, our homes Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again today. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you for the beautiful day you've given us to come out and worship you. Just be with us now as we take part in the service, that we give back a portion of that which you've blessed us with this week. We pray that you will use it in a way that will be pleasing to you. Just be with our pastor now as he stands before us. Just fill him with the words that you've put on his heart and remind him of the things that you've put before him today to speak to us today. Just be with us now as we go in and out before thee from day to day. Forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. These things we ask in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy. They were talking before service started this morning. Wonder what Brother Charlie's going to do after that. I said, well, I can tell you one thing. It's going to be ho-hum compared to what we've just heard. It reminded me so much. You know, Oki and I were missionaries in Trinidad and Tobago for 2 years before going to Venezuela. And we had a church there that we worked together with, Power and Signs Baptist Church. And I guarantee you, if you played that in Power and Signs Baptist Church, you'd have a bunch of people standing up and jumping up and down and clapping their hands. If I thought I'd have had some help, that's probably what I would have done this morning. But I may have been shown the door. Do what? Oh, yeah? I missed that. Brother Rupchad Benny is a pastor of that church. And let me just share a little bit. He is a ball of fire. He is a converted Hindu of East Indian descent there in Trinidad. And Pastor Benny does a lot of things. He has satellite churches all over the island and does street meetings. If he gets a little bit bored or has a little extra time, he'll gather up a few people and they'll go out on the street corner about rush hour traffic when everybody's coming out of the workplace and start preaching and singing. And he says to me, Brother Charlie, come on, let's do a street meeting this evening. Come on. Well, that was a whole new experience for me. No pulpit, no notes, just out there preaching, think whatever comes on your mind, and sometimes that comes pretty slow for me. But it was an experience, and those folks love the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful folks. Just wanted to share that because, you know, not everybody in the world is like us. And a lot of Baptist churches aren't at all like us. They do things different in these other countries, and that certainly is the case in Trinidad. And Brother John, that special music was priceless. That's a wonderful song, and it was obvious you sang it from the heart, and the message of that song communicates a lot. A prayer to our Lord, what we need in our homes and from our fathers. Well, happy Father's Day. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, if you would now. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 6 through 9, message I've entitled, Father Abraham, the Man of Faith. Father Abraham, the Man of Faith. Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Abraham's mentioned in the New Testament numerous times regarding his faith. He is an example and a witness of faith. He was not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination, but he was definitely a man of faith. And my, how that challenges us today. Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Challenges us, by the way, whether we are fathers or whoever we are. It's a challenge. Galatians 3, 6. Follow in your Bibles, if you will. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. That's what God said to Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I commit this message to you. Pray that you would help me, cause me to say what you would have me to say. Undeserving servant that I am. Heavenly Father, use me as a mouthpiece for your message this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Galatians 3, our text here, Galatians 3, 7 clearly tells us that as believers, we are children of Abraham. Look at that verse again. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Therefore, the statement, Father Abraham, comes to us. because we are his children through faith in Christ. Obviously, we are not his biological children, but we're related to Abraham through Christ, our Savior, and our faith in Christ. Christ was a descendant of Abraham, and we become his children through our faith in Christ. Galatians 3:6 tells us, consider Abraham. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to consider Abraham. Look at some things in his life that point out his faith. And consider how his faith challenges us today. First of all, Abraham's faith challenges us to listen to God's call and be obedient to that call and follow him, the call of Christ, God's call to us. Abraham's faith challenges us to listen to God's call. Genesis chapter 12 tells us that the Lord said, come out from your country, from your father's house, from your relatives, and go to a place that I will show you. God didn't tell him where that was going to be. God didn't tell him where that would take him, just to come and to follow him and go where God told him to go. And then in verse 4, Genesis 12, it tells us that Abraham went. He was obedient to that call. He had no idea what was ahead for him, but moved by his faith in a promise from the Lord, he left to become a follower of the Lord. God continues to call followers today. He may be calling you this morning to follow him. Possibly for the first time in your life, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you becoming a child of God, a child of Abraham through Christ. He may be calling you this morning to follow him in a deeper, closer relationship with Christ. May be calling you to come back to where you once were, away from the failures and shortcomings spiritually that have been a part of your life recently. He may be calling you this morning to the gospel ministry or to serve as missionaries somewhere around the world. God calls a lot of people in a lot of different ways. Generally, we don't hear an audible voice. But yet inside our hearts, we know that God is calling us and moving in our hearts to be obedient and to follow him where he leads us, where he will show us. And until we take that first step and begin, he'll never show us where that is. But as we go, he will show. By his Holy Spirit, he calls and convicts us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ obediently. So we're challenged to follow by faith, trusting in his promise. And we have plenty of promises from him that we can trust in, that we can put our faith in. He will credit us righteousness through faith in Christ, just like we read that he did Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was credited unto him righteousness because of his faith. So is a promise with us. If we will obediently follow Christ and accept Christ as our Savior, that itself will credit righteousness to us and make us able to stand in the presence of a high and a holy God. And without that, we cannot. We have the promise that he will never leave or forsake us. We don't have the promise of a bed of roses in the Christian life, but we do have the promise that he will always be with us. And he says to us, like he said to Joshua, do not be afraid, be of good courage, for I am with you, always with you. He will freely give us eternal life. He will freely give you eternal life with him while escaping the punishment for our sin, escaping the punishment for your sin. We're talking about heaven as opposed to hell right here. It's his promise. By faith, we also are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Our text, verse 9. Tells us that. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So the question is the Lord calling you today? As he called Abraham to follow him, where he would show him, he calls people today to follow him where he will show you. Also, Abraham's faith challenges us to return to the Lord when we have drifted away. Abraham was no perfect man, to say the least. One time in his life, hard times came. A famine came. They were hungry and thirsty. There wasn't enough food and water to feed and take care of everyone. So instead of going to the Lord, Abraham took it upon himself to go to Egypt to live. Didn't ask the Lord about that at all. He just went because Egypt was a big country and they had grain raising stores for times like this. And so Abraham took his family and he went to Egypt. We're told there in Genesis that Abraham's wife, Sarah, was a beautiful lady. And as they went to Egypt, Abraham realized the Egyptians would see her beauty and they would kill him to take her. So he told Sarah, "Tell the Egyptians that you're my sister and therefore save my life." So she did. And Pharaoh's servants sent and took Sarah to Pharaoh's palace, and Pharaoh took Sarah as his wife. You know, none of us are perfect and we have made wrong decisions at times, but I don't think any of us have gone quite that far. I know we haven't gone that far. But Abraham is an example. Well, almost immediately after that happened, old Pharaoh got sick. It says plagues, sickness, struck him and all of his household. He started looking into why this was, and as he investigated the situation, he found out that Sarah was not Abraham's sister. Sarah was Abraham's wife. Called Abraham into his presence and said to him, "Why did you do this? Why did you bring your God's wrath upon me by lying to me about this? Now you get out of Egypt. Don't you ever come back." So it says Abraham took Sarah and all that he owned and left Egypt. And where did he go? He went back to a place called Bethel. And that word Bethel means the house of God. That's where God had led Abraham when he left his family. When God said to Abraham, "Follow me where I show you," that's where God led him, was to Bethel, the house of God. And at that time, at that place, Abraham built an altar and he worshiped God. And he vowed his obedience to God for taking care of him. He accepted the promise of God, but now he had failed in that. But where did he go? Back to where he was to begin with, to Bethel, the house of God. And he fell on his face, rebuilt the altar, sacrificed and worshiped to his God, and recommitted his life to his heavenly Father. And of course, his heavenly Father accepted that act of repentance on the part of Abraham. None of us are perfect people either. We all make mistakes, and we make wrong decisions. But when we find out, we're challenged like Abraham to go to the house of God and again worship the Lord our God. And as God did to Abraham, he will receive us because that's who God is. We're told there in Genesis that he called upon the name of the Lord. All through the scriptures when it refers to the name of the Lord. And even as we pray, we conclude our prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That expression in the name refers to his character. And so when Abraham called on the name of the Lord, Abraham was calling on who he knew God was, his character, a God of forgiveness, a God of mercy. That if we come to him in true repentance, he will remove our sins, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. He is as far as the east is from the west. And remember them no more. So it is when we honestly come to our Lord and call upon his name. That's who he is. That challenges us. Whenever we find ourselves where we ought not to be, return to the house of God. Abraham's faith also challenges us to expect the impossible from the Lord. The Lord promised Abraham and his wife Sarah, son. Well, when he made that promise, the Bible says that Sarah was 90 years old, and Abraham was 100. And Abraham said, Lord, how can this be for us to have a son, to bear a son at our old age? And it says that Sarah laughed at God. Well, lo and behold, one day, Sarah came up expecting. And Sarah gave birth to a son, the child of promise that God had promised them. And God told him to name that son Isaac. I always learn something new when I study the Bible. Maybe you'd heard this, but I don't remember. But the name Isaac means he laughed. So don't you know, every time they called this little boy, Isaac, come here, he's laughing at him. Because you laughed at God, said this couldn't happen, here I am. He laughed, Isaac, Isaac, the child of promise. The impossible had happened. Through our faith, we can expect the impossible to take place. The Lord can totally change a worthless life, the life of a worthless person, to a godly follower of Christ. It happens all the time, folks. When people finally give up on themselves and turn themselves over to God and allow Christ to rule their lives, to be their Lord, to be their boss, to be their servant, them being his servant. Doing the impossible through miraculous power of the Lord, anything can happen. Nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing. In fact, we can expect the impossible. One of the greatest impossibilities is that through our faith, we're changed from the sentence of eternity forever and ever in hell to eternity forever and ever in the glories of heaven. How can that be? only by the miraculous power of God over the impossible. Amen. Abraham's faith also challenges us to totally trust in the Lord when we do not understand. I want to say some things happen in life that we don't understand. The longer I live, the more I realize a lot of things happen in life that we don't understand. We'll understand it better by and by, but right now we don't understand it. Genesis chapter 22, as it goes on toward the close of the life of Abraham, tells us that God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, God tested Abraham. And so Abraham took his son, his only son, the son of promise, Isaac. And he took some wood and some fire, and they went off into a mountain. And his son Isaac asked, Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham answered, the Lord will provide. They got to the place, and Abraham built an altar, and he put the wood on the altar. And then he took his son, tied his hands and his feet, placed him on the wood of the altar, drew a knife from his sheath, and prepared to take the life of his own son. And the Bible says an angel of the Lord stopped him. Says, don't touch the son, because now I know that you totally, absolutely have faith and trust in God. And Abraham looked up, and there in the bushes, God had provided a ram whose horns were caught in the thicket of the brush. And Abraham freed his son, took the ram, sacrificed, and worshiped God. Don't you know that neither Abraham nor Isaac understood at all what in the world is going on? But as I mentioned, that chapter begins, God tested Abraham. When we experience things that we just don't understand, let us remember that sometimes, oft times, God tests us. I shared last Sunday night, Sunday evening service, my visit the Sunday before when I was gone from here in a church, and the speaker there answered and dealt with the question, why? Why am I here? Why life? Why do I have this job and not that job? Why is this happening to me? One of the greatest mysteries is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to godly people? And as he went, and if we go back to creation in Genesis chapter 1, God created everything, and then he decided to create man. God said, let us make man in our own image, our own likeness. And what is an image? It's a reflection, isn't it? We look into a mirror, we see a reflection of ourselves there. We see in the mirror a likeness of our own image. And when God created us, and we forget about this often, and all too often the church is come short in reminding ourselves of this truth, we are to reflect the image of God, the image of who God is, regardless of our circumstances. Abraham, in obedience to God, demonstrated an unwavering faith under severe testing. at times we find ourselves being tested. Abraham teaches us a number of things here, doesn't it? Father Abraham's, today is Father's Day, challenges us to respond to the call of God, follow obediently, challenges us to always go back to Him when we find ourselves in the wrong, challenges us to expect the impossible, and challenges us to trust God when we don't understand in the first bit. I can tell you that the example and testimony of Abraham has made a profound difference in my life. I would like to take the time to tell you all of the particulars of the journey of my life to this point, at near 75 years old. But a little more than 40 years ago, I felt God calling me, and I had no idea where that was taking me. But I was obedient and followed, and the Lord took me places, wonderful places, that I would never have dreamt in my wildest dreams that I would have the opportunity to experience. Like Abraham, I'm certainly not perfect, made a lot of mistakes, made some wrong decisions, but always going back to God, He received me with forgiveness and reinstated His call. My family and I have experienced numerous impossibilities, things you would not believe if I told you. And yes, my family and I have been tested by fire a time or two. And so Abraham, you see, is very special to me. And I share that, and I share this word from Galatians and from Genesis. Go home this afternoon or sometime take the time to read Genesis 12 through about, I don't know, chapter 20. The life of Abraham. It's challenging. And pray that God would give us all, especially fathers, the faith of Father Abraham. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for Abraham. Thank you for the challenge that he brings us. God, as we bow before you now, give us the strength and a determination and a commitment to do what Abraham did as his witness challenges us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand. We sing a closing hymn, a hymn of invitation. And if you would come and accept Christ as your Savior this morning, will you come as we sing a verse or two of this hymn? And the Lord is calling you to whatever. Now is the time to respond obediently. John, what's that number this morning?
535. 535. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you for the example of St. Orphan Abraham, and for Brother Charlie expounding on that for us today, Lord. Just may we go out of here blessed to know you, God, and may our Holy Spirit guide us into all righteousness. It's in the name of Jesus Christ.